podcast for all your running needs.
Ned, he was a terminally happy guy. And Ned, he ate a moldy pumpkin pie. And Ned, he thought that he just couldn't die. And Ned, he laughed so hard it made me cry.
Dum 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 dum. Whoa! Welcome to the Run Run Life podcast, the podcast for runners, wannabe runners, and meatpackers of all shapes and sizes who just want to strap on their favorite pair of shoes and get out there. This is obviously not Chris, your host. This is Sparkitza, and I'm the guest announcer this week. So when you're done listening to the Run Run Life podcast, come visit me at Twitter. Just write Sparkitza, okay? And we'll have some fun. I think. I promise. No, I guess. So, wherever and whenever this episode finds you, I hope you're doing great. And I hope you're getting your run in today. I know I'm getting my run in. You ready to have some fun? Come on then. Let's go for a run. Run, Florist, run!
I am Spartacus.
Because you look so fine that I really want to make you mine. I say you look so fine that I really want to make you mine. 4, 5, 6, come on and get your kicks. Now you don't need the money when you look like that, do you, honey?
Are you gonna beat my girl? Hello, my friends. Have you missed me? I've missed you. Got a really good show today. Couple of highlights for you. I interviewed Dr. Monty, and you should make your sedentary friends listen to this one. Dr. Monty's gut is so on message. It's just the best. I've also got Joe Beers, my friend Joe Bears. He's reading one of my articles into audio for me. He did a great job. I have some other people who I've asked to read some stories in, too, so you'll be seeing more of that going forward. I get sick of my own voice, and I'm sure you do, too. So if you want to read some stories, shoot me a note, and I'll give you a copy of my books in PDF format in trade for your services. I'm going to throw in some more snippets out of my music collection because I got positive response to last week's show. That just proves I listened to your feedback. I'm going to slot in some mellower bits today so as not to offend those of you, those sensitive souls out there who may not appreciate my taste in music. But I'll tell you, I swear, putting Rancid on your earbuds will take 15 seconds off your mile splits. Also, I read your emails. I usually don't read emails on race reports on the air because it gets kind of repetitive, but I wanted to mention one. I got a note from Greg this week who said he ran the Philly Half Marathon and went out so fast that he set a 5K PR in the beginning and then suffered all the way in. That, my friends, is taking a page from the Mad Dog Racing Manual. Nice work. He's goon material. All right, so what a crazy, crazy week. I feel like my whole life is just a blur of activity. I wonder if it makes that, you know, it makes for a better life or a less fulfilled life. But I'll let my biographer struggle with that. This week I'm racing. It's Thanksgiving week here in the States, so most of us, you know, just sort of turn into a week-long holiday. That's not the case for me, but I'm running the Air Fire Department Thanksgiving 5K in the town next door to my town in Massachusetts. I'm going to race it in my New Balance 800, see how they perform in an actual road race conditions. We got new treadmills at the gym at work, so I've been doing some speed work and progression runs this week, and the new treadmills are just smooth. That's great. You know, they're all the same speed. They got a nice smooth ride. It's really nice. And I just wish that the treadmill engineers were runners, because some of the stuff just doesn't make any sense. You know, I was doing intervals yesterday, and it wouldn't let me program my cool down faster than a 12-minute mile. like, yeah. And then I tried to, I was coming out of an interval, and I gripped the little hand rate pads that are on the thing, the little handlebars, to see what my heart rate was, just wanted to get my max heart rate. And it told me it was too dangerous for me to hold the grips while running. You know, at the risk of sounding like a cranky old guy, why do we have to design so much over-engineered nonsense into these things? My car is the same way, to protect me from myself. You know, can't we just leave it alone and let the gene pool clean itself out? I guess it's all due to the lawyers, right? Thank you so much to my Slovenian friend, Sparkika, for reading the intro for me. I have a friend in Slovenia. She promised to send me another one in actual Slovenian for the future show, but we'll see if that happens. I'm always looking for people to do the intro. If you have a podcast, website, race, charity, or just want to have some fun, call it in. Script's on my site at runrunlive.com. Okay, so get those digestive juices flowing, because it is on with the show.
I'll play your favorite song, darling. We can rock it all night long, darling. 'Cause I've got to love, darling. Love, sweet love, darling. Man, the mood has got me. Music rock me, 'cause I've got to love, darling. Love, sweet love, darling.
Hey Chris, Joe Bears, here we go. Your name here. I'm fully available for sponsorship opportunities. I got an email from one of the guys in my running club last week about a candy company that's launching a new energy bar, and they were looking for athletes to sponsor it. They would give you lots of free logo wear, and in return, you dressed up in the gear while promoting positive platitudes about the product. I went ahead and started filling out the application because free stuff is one of my favorite things. It would please my wife to have me cut down on my running-related overhead. Shoes, clothes, race fees, mileage, goop, pictures, doctor's fees, therapy. It all adds up for such a simple sport. They asked questions like, what were your major accomplishments last year? And I answered truthfully enough that I pulled off a couple third-place age group finishes, managed to qualify for Boston, and got out of bed almost every day. It struck me that I was probably not what they were looking for. They were probably looking for real athletes, not mid-pack Clydesdales. And this struck me as a tragic marketing error on their part, because I got a lot to offer. First, let's talk about real estate. How much advertising can you put on one of those scrawny little elites? It's like riding on a grain of rice. Me, on the other hand, I got acres of surface area. You've got plenty of room to really express those detailed and subtle marketing messages that require a grand palette. The opportunities are darn near endless. If you want small results, you stick with your current plan. If you want big returns, come scribble your brilliance on my grand tableau. The pun is fully intended when I tell you that we are looking at a huge bottom line. Now, in addition to the wide open spaces, I've got contrast. These competitive athletes spend all their time outside training and competing. I'm lucky to squeeze in a workout early in the morning or late at night. I have an inside job. My body hardly ever sees the sun. As a result, I've got that opalescent Gollum skin tone that will make your logos really stand out. That's right, your reds will be redder, and your blues will be magnificent. Finally, here is a surface that will bring the subtle and elegant nuances of your message into stark contrast, except for all the hair. But, you know, I'm willing to take one for the team there. We can turn it into a positive and rent my backspace to Gillette, Schick, or Nair. Just think of the possibilities. Frankly, I'm not worried about exposure. You can tattoo me all over. I wear a suit to work, so no one's going to see it. And while we're on the topic of surface area, I've got a huge head, too. My kids say it's square. I prefer majestic. There's a big opportunity for your message on my swim cap at my next triathlon. Failing that, I'm willing to shave it, too. I don't think there will be much hair left soon anyway. I'm a living, breathing billboard for your success. The viewing audience gets to see your product longer with me, too. Those elites flash by at a sub-5 pace. I'm going to be trundling by at a much more viewer-friendly speed. And I've been known to stop occasionally to catch my breath. That's more eyes for more time for you. I'm not kidding when I tell you that when I come out of the water in my Speedo, everyone stares. All in all, it's a much better return on your investment. These other elite athletes are going to be harder to work with than I am. You see, they need the money. I just want free stuff. I have a job. You don't have to worry about catching me doing something stupid with a starlet in Vegas. I hardly ever do anything except work out, eat, and sleep. Oh, and work. I'm low risk for a scandal. Well, unless that's what you want. I'm willing to work with you. And I'm well-spoken, too. You ever see these commercials with those elite athletes? They have great pounding music. They show the elite athlete in various airborne athletic poses. Powerful MTV camera angles and cuts. They have the announcer voice over something intense. But they hardly ever let the stud talk. If they do, it's some monosyllabic utterance like, cool. Even then, the delivery is shaky. Not me. I'm in sales, man. I spend all day trying to talk people out of money. I have to present to boards of directors and executives of companies. Nothing you could throw at me could possibly compare to those groups of angry, tight-fisted people. I'm your spokesmodel, baby. Just plug me in. Give me a quota. We can do business. It's a win-win. Now, let's talk about expanding your exposure across your whole product line. What do your elite athletes use? One pair of racing flats and a singlet? Have you checked the sales volumes lately? You don't sell that many pairs of racing flats. You sell lots of those cushiony trainers. And who do you sell them to? Mid-packers like me. With me, you'll have an opportunity to showcase your bread and butter products, not just those fringe offerings. I'm a biking, swimming, running cornucopia of product placement opportunities. I dress in layers. Bring it on. I'll wear it all and carry the rest. It doesn't matter if you slow me down. I'm not going to win anyhow. I train in New England. I need all the clothes you can give me. I'll run in a spacesuit if you got one. Which brings me to my next point. What about all those great curative products you guys push? Who buys that stuff? Not the elites. They have trainers. This is another huge product opportunity for you. I'm constantly injured, so I can hawk all those creams and wraps and splints for you. I've already got a closet full of your junk. I'm an expert. Now, I'm willing to take some more of those expensive personal care products off your hands and share them with the public. And as a quick aside, another product that I'm an expert at is the whole portable sanitation business. I can pontificate without end on the pros and cons of all manners of port-a-johns. Go ahead. You slap my action photo right there on the door. When the experts need to go, they choose Sanigo brand hand sanitizers. Come on. Put me in, coach. I'm ready. Here's another great opportunity. I've been fighting the battle of the bulge my entire adult life, and I'm here to assure you that for a nominal endorsement fee, I will stand up and claim I've finally found success with your weight loss products. Now, who are John and Jane Q Public going to believe? Me or a 130-pound speedster? I think we both know the answer. While we're on the subject, why limit the endorsements to sports-related paraphernalia? I'm a great buy for advertising your food products, too. I'm not just talking about power bars and goo. I'm talking about hot dogs, pizza, mixed nuts. How many of those elites are willing to eat a plate of Italian sausage prior to the race? I am. Bring it on. Then I'll hold up your stomach curatives as I'm coughing them up at the 10-mile mark. Oh, yeah, it's an excellent, well-rounded marketing strategy. Don't you think? I know what you're thinking. You think these elites are well-known and get all the spotlights, whereas nobody knows who I am, and that is where you are wrong. I'm extremely well-known. I hear people talking about me at all the races. Things like, ah, here comes that guy who never shuts up. Let's move. And, oh, crap, it's Joe. For the right deal, I can give you access to that star power, Mr. Sponsor. And if you're still not convinced, I've got one last deal sweetener. If you give me your endorsement, I'll commit to throwing some sort of fit in front of the cameras at Boston this year. And while I'm writhing on the ground, I'll stare into the lens, hold up your product, and say, if it wasn't for your name here, I might have died. Now, how can you pass? I'll be waiting for your calls and watching the fax machine for offers. By the way, I could use a new bike. All right, Chris. There it is.
Sing it up, mister. Hear what I say, sir, yeah. Yeah, no. Yeah. Get your hands in the air, sir. Woo, yeah. Then you will get no hurt, mister. No. I said, yeah.
I said, yeah.
What they say.
Okay, Monty, we're back.
Yeah.
And with me today is the famous Dr. Monty from the Fitness Rocks podcast, which is up to, looks like, 150-ish episodes, although you took a hiatus for a while. Now you're back, and I think what happened was somebody wrote an article that was fairly incendiary that said exercise causes obesity, and it shocked you out of your podcast retirement.
Right.
Back and rebut that. But I listen to your podcast. It's good. A lot of times it's nice and brief. It's very to the point. And you've got a very important and strong message for people on how to live. So give us a little bit about, you know, who you are, what you do, and how you got into this.
Sure. Well, Chris, thanks for asking me to be on your show. I appreciate that. I am a middle-aged doctor who stopped practicing medicine about 7 years ago. And for a variety of reasons, but mostly I just got tired of the day-to-day grind of private practice medicine. And I've had a lifelong interest in fitness. In fact, when I was practicing medicine in my clinic, I actually built a gym in it and had a whole staff of exercise physiologists and yoga instructors, Pilates instructors, and basically did everything I could to get my patients to exercise as part of their treatment. One of the most discouraging things about that, I'll just say as a side note, was that was not nearly as well received as I'd hoped it would be. People were reluctant to embrace that part of their treatment. But after I quit medicine, I started looking around for things to do, and eventually a friend suggested that I take up podcasting about fitness, which I had to go and learn what that was, and I did. And went to a podcasting conference at Boston University, and I bought some equipment, and I started talking about fitness, and I just have, for whatever reason, kept doing it for the last 3 years. I did take, as you said, a few months off, but sort of the thing, the driving impulse behind what I do is that there is an enormous amount of medical research that comes out every single week in the mainstream peer-reviewed medical journals that looks at the relationship between lifestyle habits and health, and specifically risk of developing all of the common chronic diseases like high blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, coronary heart disease, cancer, stroke, etc.
Right, and
all of
these
are related to health and lifestyle habits.
Yeah, and as a doctor, you not only have access to this, but you also do a pretty good job of understanding it and then translating it to the layman language, saying, okay, here's what this means, right?
Well, yeah, because that's the other thing, is that whenever I would, I read these articles, because I have online subscriptions to a variety of journals, so I read these articles, and then I will see one of them summarized in an article in the lay press, and I won't name any specific magazines or newspapers, but I'll see one of them, and sometimes I'll feel like, yeah, the author got it pretty much right. But other times I'll see them, like the article that you talked about at the beginning of this interview, the Time Magazine article about exercise being a myth, and I'll read them, and I'll know that they just completely missed it. and they have misrepresented this information either because they simply didn't understand it or that because they have some other more nefarious reason for scrambling this message. The Time Magazine article is a perfect example because I was standing in line at the grocery store. I don't have a subscription to Time Magazine, but I was standing in line at the grocery store, and you know they had the magazine racks, and there was this cover story on Time Magazine, Exercise is a Myth, and I couldn't help but pick it up and thumb through it, and of course I bought the magazine, went home and finished reading it. What fascinated me was that the lead researcher that was used in that article was a guy named Timothy Church, who is in Louisiana at the Pennington Biomedical Research Center. I had interviewed him in a previous podcast about the article that was being used in the Time Magazine piece. And so I knew firsthand that everything that that author in Time Magazine had said was wrong.
Yeah, and that's clearly an example of the yellow press there, right? Which is they're trying to create sensationalism to sell magazines.
Exactly.
Fortunately, for them to make another couple $1,000s on magazines, they just gave millions of people an excuse, let them off the hook, to not be healthy. So they just cost us and our society billions of dollars in health care and death and everything else, right?
Well, it's such an irresponsible message because you're absolutely right. I mean, we know. I mean, the research data on how many people engage in healthy lifestyles is very clear and very disheartening, and the answer is it's not very many. The people to adhere to what is the definition of a healthy lifestyle are truly an elite group of people, somewhere down around 3%. Of the American population.
Right. So let's go right to the heart of this, right? You have figured out the secret to life here, right? In your podcast. You know, what are the four, you know, what's the proven factors for avoiding these horrible diseases of longevity and getting the most health out of your life?
Right. Well, and that's a funny question because as I was doing my podcast and reading all of these articles, I'm slower than the average bear. And it took me a couple of years before I finally realized one day, I'm saying the same thing in every podcast. And when I look through each of these articles, I'm seeing exactly the same four lifestyle behaviors that are associated with the lowest risk of chronic diseases. And those are not smoking, exercising at least a half an hour a day most days of the week, eating a diet high in fruits and vegetables. And the fourth one is not really so much a behavior as it is a consequence of the first three, which is to maintain a healthy body weight. Now, those four habits across the board in every research paper that I've reviewed, which is at this point getting up to hundreds of them, if not over 1,000, those habits are associated with the lowest rates of type 2 diabetes. In fact, the World Health Organization has said a lifestyle that incorporates those four habits will reduce the risk of type 2 diabetes by over 90%. This is a disease that costs $150+ billion per year in America alone, and 90% of the cases could be eliminated. That number all by itself should get most people's attention, but it doesn't. So these four simple habits all by themselves could eliminate the majority of chronic diseases. And I'll give you one other interesting statistic as we have this great uninformed debate about health reform going on in our country. Rarely have I heard anybody on any side mention the number 75%, and that is that we spend 75% of the $2.2 or $4 trillion per year that we spend on health care. 75% of those dollars are spent treating chronic diseases,
which are essentially preventable by lifestyle habits.
Practically entirely preventable through healthy lifestyle habits. I mean, the number of people who have type 2 diabetes or who have coronary heart disease should be really small as opposed to the enormous numbers that they are.
So those are the factors, and I think I've heard you talk that some of these factors are more important than others. So if you had to rank them, you know, how would you rank them?
Well, actually, they're all, when you look at the studies, here's what's interesting. If you look at the studies that have looked at the relationship between people who embrace these lifestyle habits and what their risk of these chronic diseases are, what you find is that the lowest risk category are the people who have all four habits.
Right.
And again, that's a very small crowd. But having just one habit reduces the risk of most chronic diseases substantially, almost 50% in some cases, in some studies,
right,
as compared to people who have none of the four habits. And then each additional healthy habit that a person adds, they get increasing benefit. And most studies have been unable to sort of say, well, if you're going to pick one, this would be the one to pick.
Yeah.
Although I think if you polled most doctors, they'd probably say don't smoke
right,
if you're going to pick one.
But if we take smoking out of the mix, you know, and look at it, it's probably a toss-up between the healthy diet and the exercise.
Yeah, and
the weight's sort of a symptom of that.
And the weight really is a consequence of a healthy diet and regular exercise. But the researchers that I've talked to have all said the same thing, which is that the trick is getting people to understand that these are complementary habits, that they work together.
Exactly.
When I interviewed one researcher named Matthew Reeves from Michigan State University, he wrote a paper that was very popular and became very famous, even appeared on the Jay Leno show. But he says that he was surprised when he did his research that he expected to find that people who were regular exercisers would probably also be people who ate a healthy diet and who didn't smoke. And he found out that that was not true, that there wasn't that sort of correlation, that there were plenty of people who were regular exercisers but who also smoked or who ate a horrible diet. There were plenty of people who ate a very healthy diet, but they didn't exercise. So there wasn't this sort of cascading correlation between having one habit made you more likely to have others. It seemed to be somewhat independent.
Right. The other interesting thing, because my audience is exercisers, right, the interesting thing that I teased out of some of your podcasts was that what's the exercise intensity, duration, and frequency that really hits the bell? You know, at what point is it too much? Is it too little? Because what I got from your podcast was there's a certain level of intensity and frequency that really works, which may be higher than what the government's telling you.
Well, you know, that's an interesting question, because you have to define what are we talking about as far as end results that we want to achieve. So if we're talking to an audience of runners who are concerned about, you know, achieving a new personal best, then obviously we're talking about requirements for higher levels of intensity and duration of exercise. If we're talking about people who have been sedentary for most of their lives, or at least most of the last few years, and who suddenly decide they want to do everything they can to prevent themselves from having type 2 diabetes or heart disease or whatever chronic disease they have become concerned about, then the requirements for exercise become remarkably minimal. Dr. Stephen Blair, who's probably the most preeminent researcher in the area of exercise and health, said in an interview with me, it was podcast 097 actually, that his research has pretty much confirmed that the majority of the benefits, when you look at a sedentary person and you get them to exercise, the majority of the benefits come within that first 30 minutes a day of a moderate exercise program, like going for a walk. And to me, that's the most important part of the message, is that it doesn't take that much to dramatically reduce your risk of chronic diseases when it comes to the exercise portion.
Yep.
30 minutes of walking around your neighborhood. And Dr. Blair even said it could be 10 minutes at a time, three times a day. Now, the other thing he did say was that you get continuing benefit as you go up. But what's important for people to understand is that the curve changes. So going from being a couch potato to somebody who walks around their neighborhood for 30 minutes a day, there's a very steep curve of benefit. It goes up very quickly and very steeply. But beyond that, it levels off somewhat, so that really knocking yourself out at the gym, you get some additional benefit, but not as much as the first 30 minutes gives you, if that makes sense.
And I thought I heard you talking about the intensity level has to be fairly high as well.
Well, there was an interview that I did with a doctor, a really bright guy named Len Kravitz from New Mexico, who wrote an article about sort of clarifying the ideas about intensity of exercise and weight loss. And the point he made was there was a misunderstanding that a lot of people thought that you had to sort of stay at this low intensity level to be in sort of a maximum fat-burning zone, as people call it.
Right.
And, you know, his point was that if you have, if you're exercising at a higher intensity, you're burning more calories, period.
Right. Yep.
And so his point was that, that it's not reasonable for people to think that it, that somehow there's something important about staying at lower intensities if your primary goal is to lose weight. And he wasn't necessarily encouraging people to exercise at higher intensities because there are potential problems with that. You're more prone to get injuries if you have an underlying problem like high blood pressure. Higher intensity exercise may be more likely to cause you to have some medical problem. But his point was the higher the intensity of exercise, the more calories you're going to burn.
Yeah, that's what I always found personally using my own body as a lab is that, you know, if I'm down the track knocking out 10, 1600s at a tempo pace, I'm going to lose a ton of weight from that.
Right.
I just can tell the impact of that intense exercise on my body. But I guess...
Yeah, you bring up an interesting point because I just turned 50 not that long ago, and when I was younger, I was a reasonably good runner. I mean, I could turn in about a 32-minute 10K and stuff like that. But I'm not... That's not who I am today, you know, and my focus has changed completely. I want to maintain a high level of fitness as I get older. I want to avoid what I saw in my clinic, which was people who were just basically physically disabled from a lifetime of abusing themselves.
Yeah.
And so, I to me, the message is to get people who aren't doing anything to start doing something. Now, the people that are, past 50 and still performing at these incredibly high levels, you know, I think those guys are, you know, rock stars as far as I'm concerned. That's great if they can do that. You know, I have a hard time with that because of accumulated injuries from being a non-intelligent runner. You know, I would get an injury and I would just keep going until I made a small injury a big injury, and it took me years to finally figure out that that was not going to be a good long-term plan.
Sure. I'm in the same boat. I'm reasonably close to your age as well. But what I find is if you just do the easy slow runs, you sort of lose your passion and edge for it, so you got to throw in some... You still got to set your goals. You still got to train. You just don't have the same results.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, so I think it's an interesting dynamic because... There are. I've met a lot of people for whom it's the challenge of getting ready for the next race that keeps them going, and I think that's terrific. I mean, I think if that works, that's what you should do. But there's a lot of other people who, again, I just want them to get off the couch.
Right.
And to tell somebody who's never been an athlete that, you know, they should start training for even a small race, a 3-miler or something like that. You know, that's intimidating to them.
Right.
I think everybody has to kind of come up with the reason that they want to go out and exercise. I'm sort of a knucklehead. I mean, I have my own gym, and I go out and work out for 2 hours a day by myself, typically with no music playing and just absolute silence, a routine that I think every other human being on the planet would find so painfully boring that they'd probably rather shoot themselves than do what I do. But that's just how I like it. I enjoy just being out there working out by myself. It gives me time to think. It gives me time to sort of decide what to do next in my life. And I don't spend a lot of time running races or things like that, but that's just who I am.
Yeah, you know, that's what I tell people in there. You know, you set yourself up to fail if you expect too much, and at the end of the day, all you got to do is just put your clothes on and get out the door, and then take whatever comes.
You've got to fall into the routine that you like, and for whatever reason that you like it. You know, again, in my case, I like the solitude. I like the time spent in my gym. And working out, let's face it, you don't have to be a genius to do pull-ups.
Right.
You know, I just enjoy the simpleness of the routine that I do. When I used to be able to run before I had so many injuries, there was just no greater feeling than just to be out there on the road, cruising along, letting my thoughts wander. And I suspect that's the same thing that most runners find, is that sort of freedom. When you're out there running, you're just in a new place.
Yeah, absolutely.
That you can sort of...
So as we're approaching the end of our time here, why do you think, why don't people embrace this more? Why is the number so low?
You know, I don't think anybody has the perfect answer for that, but before we started talking, I was telling you that I've recently interviewed some professors who are teaching or introducing the teaching of evolutionary biology into medical school curriculums, and there's a lot of interesting behavior patterns. If you think about our ancestors whose lives were incredibly physically active, I mean, not getting up and moving around from on a daily basis would have been a recipe for death for our ancestors thousands of years ago. So they had to be physically active, but at the same time, whenever they had a chance to rest, they needed to take that chance.
Yeah.
So it's very possible that our brains are sort of hardwired to rest when the available or when the opportunity makes itself available to us. Of course, in our modern world, we're surrounded by nothing but opportunities to not be physically active. And it may be that this is sort of an evolutionary holdover in a behavior pattern where we conserve energy when we can, because, you know,
yeah,
a little while
ready.
Now we
we're
might have to be out running a tiger or something.
Yeah, we're getting ready for the next big fight that's not ever going to come.
Yeah, so I think that might be part of it. I think, you know, we have a society that's, I mean, look, this is amazing. Nothing strikes me as more abnormal than the line of cars at a drive-through window at a fast food restaurant, which when I was practicing medicine, the window of my office looked out at such a place, and every afternoon at 5 o'clock, when I would sit down at my desk to sort of go over the day's work, I would look out this window and see these cars lining up, people just driving up and having somebody hand them a bag of greasy food, and I thought, this is so totally abnormal, and yet it has become
the
part of our everyday life.
Yeah.
This is how we are. The effort put into getting this bag of 2,000 or 3,000 calories of food is zero. No calories expended to get 3,000 calories of food. Therein lies the problem with our current dilemma of chronic diseases.
Yep. So I don't know. Well, hopefully we can do something from the grassroots to at least influence part of this. So give us your website and podcast info so people can find you.
Sure. It's the website is fitnessrocks.org, just like it sounds, FITNESSROCKS.org. All the podcasts are posted there. They're, of course, there at iTunes as well. But everything I do is at that website, and the archives are, at this point, pretty long. There's about 167 total shows, I think.
Yeah, but they're very good. I mean, they're excellent, some of the interviews. And they're not all an hour long, right? Some of them are nice and bite-sized, too. So
they range from 5 minutes to close to an hour. I try to shoot for 30 minutes, but sometimes they last a little longer than that.
All right. Well, thank you for sharing your expertise and knowledge with me this morning. And
Chris, you bet. It's great talking to you.
Yeah, keep up the good work. And if I'm down the Cape sometime, we'll have to go out. I guess we can't go for a run, but, you know, we can go out on the bike trail down there. I spend a lot of time down there on that bike trail.
Oh, you know, they've expanded the bike trail. It's absolutely gorgeous now.
Yeah, it goes all the way up to Provincetown. You can go 60 miles.
Yeah, it's just incredible.
Yeah.
So, well, listen, it was great talking to you.
All right. Thank you, sir.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hello, this is Chris. Beautiful sunny day here in New England. Another nice Sunday morning. Just had to come down. I was over in Groton, Massachusetts, running with my club, which is based in Groton, Massachusetts, some of the guys, and it's over at the old burying ground just now. I didn't go in because there's no pets allowed. I guess that would be disrespectful, but when we say old burying ground, it's as old as it gets in this, well, as old as it gets for Western Europeans in this part of the world. We ran by here this morning, and Buddy decided to leave a present in front of the old burying ground, so I drove back over here with my plastic bag to pick it up, because that's the kind of citizen I am. Yeah, you go out there, there's a lot of graves from the 1700s, 1600s, no, not 1600s, from the, 1700s, 1600s, Revolutionary War soldiers, classic New England, classic graveyard. So I'm going to go back down here. I saw some cedar branches my wife wanted me to pick up because she's doing one of the containers in town, building it out for Christmas decoration. So I saw some, well, you're out running, you see stuff, and, you know, you want to stop and pick it up. Even though I don't have a truck anymore, this may be a little dodgy in the Camry. That was a wordplay, wasn't it? Dodge Camry? Yeah. So anyhow, gonna go back over and see some cedar branches, some greens, so she can use that in part of her decorations. What the heck, right? Waste not, want not. Beautiful day for running. Beautiful New England town. This is where I grew up. It's really nice. Out, me and Buddy, that is. Yeah, Buddy Boo. I always come back to you.
Been waiting to be my guide. always come back to you.
Okay, that's it, folks. Episode 97 in the can. Couple updates and I'll let you go. And you can saunter off to join your loved ones, knowing that you have been fortified by your weekly dose of Run, Run, Live. Buddy and I are pulling for you. We're behind you. We're right behind you. Go ahead. Make your move. Take the risk. Make something big, something wonderful happen this week. I dare you. We're coming up on our 100th episode, so I'm still looking for you, my friends, to record some sort of nuggets and send it off to the show so we can play it and inspire some others in our troop of wayward, strange, and quixotic endurance junkies. And I always wonder whether that should be quixotic or quixotic, but I guess it depends on where you live. I've tentatively slapped together a new training plan with lots of long runs to see if I can crush a marathon early this spring. But like all my plans, it's flexible. Flexible to reality, and more so to my whims and passions. I'm trying to do mostly progression runs in my training. And to support this, I've actually gone out and acquired an old Garmin 205. So this is a new chapter in the old cranky old guy's life. Progression run is when you start off slower and finish faster. And this way, you're training your body to finish stronger, and that's what I've been struggling with. So even on your easy runs, if you know, go out a little easier, and then the last mile, take it to your tempo pace, that's teaching your body to do the right thing. You'll see a lot of positive results from that. And next week, we've got an interesting show. We're speaking with Pastor Randy about the relationship between religion and spirituality and running. I know, pretty deep, huh? So I read an interesting article this morning that I'm going to take home and hang on my fridge. It was by Joyce Schaefer, and it discoursed on negativity. And she explained how negativity, while not something you can avoid, is something you can recognize and manage. And she talks about how negativity in people is actually fear. And when fear is triggered, you project a negative future image. But the interesting part for me, because I know a lot of people who are systematically negative, is that feeding your negativity is a learned habit. And when you see the symptoms of negativity in yourself, you can acknowledge it and then choose to take a different direction. And we all have acquired habits. There are good habits and there are bad habits. But we have the power to recognize which are which, and we have the power to break the patterns. So it's your life. Go ahead and decide how you want to live it. And when you figure it out, I'll see you out there. Music tonight is a mellow reggae number by Lazo called Love Is On Your Side. Enjoy, be well, be happy. Happy Thanksgiving. We'll be right back. Podcast. Comments and suggestions can be made on our listener comment line at 206-339-7804 or via email at chrisrunner@runrunlive.com. That's our website. Go to the website, check it out for articles and my blog and other great stuff. If you would like to be on the show or have a suggestion as someone you would like me to have on the show, drop me a line and I will see you out there.
Run, run, live. The podcast for all your running needs.